Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit speak through me and quiet my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's sermon is entitled My Way or Yahweh's. And the reason I decided on that is because I don't know about you guys, but many times I go ahead in life and I come up with, I concoct this great plan. And, hopefully it's a godly plan and it will do some good for people. But many times what I find is I come up with this great grand plan and then I say to God, I want you to bless it. Some of you have probably seen a bumper sticker on cars that said, God is my co-pilot. That's absolutely wrong. God is the pilot, not our co-pilot. So we shouldn't ask him to bless our plans. We should go to him directly and ask him what his plans are. So the reason I think I do this is who could possibly know myself better than me? Well, maybe my creator that wove me together. So today's scripture reading, to me, just reeks of fear. The first person that I want to talk about is Judas. Now, Judas sold Jesus out. And the reason he did this, I am sure, is because he was fearful. He thought for 3 years he was following a Messiah that was going to blow away the Roman world, that was going to be a mighty warrior Messiah, and then found out that Jesus was not like that. The next group of fearful people were the priests and the Pharisees. They were fearful of Jesus because Jesus did a whole 180-degree turn in spirituality. If you think about it, they had made hundreds of man-made rules. And when they asked Jesus which of the commandments was the most important, he boiled it down to two: love God and love your neighbor. And finally, the third person in this reading that shows a lot of fear is Peter. Now, I love Peter. Peter is an impulsive guy, always has been. And in a little bit, I'll tell you another story. But here is Peter. And so Peter pulls out his sword and chops the ear off of one of the soldiers. And Jesus basically tells him that's not the way we do it, picks up the ear and immediately heals it. So before we proceed, let's take a look at a definition of fear. It can be a feeling of dread, it can be an awareness that we are being threatened, and it can be an inconsistent confidence that God knows what he is doing. Now, that third one can be a little tricky. I'm not saying that we should not be confident in what God is doing, but if you're anything like me, it's not always consistent. So we need to unwrap the gift of consistent confidence that God gives us, and we need to box up that feeling of fear and return it. So, let's take a look at the four C's, as I call them. The cause of fear, the consequences of living in fear, how can we conquer fear, and then finally, becoming consistent. So let's take a look first at the causes of fear. We live in a fearful society. I have to tell you a little story. I was at Kroger's the other day. Now, I'm talking about the big plush Kroger's, the one on Michigan Avenue and Otter Drive that has the sushi bar, which I'm not a sushi fan, but I just think that's so cool when you walk in, see all these people chopping up raw fish. Anyway, I was walking into Kroger, into their main entrance, and they have like a moist towelette distribution thing. And it's over by where you return the pop cans. And I don't know about you, my wife is so good about rinsing out pop cans, But I usually just throw them in a bag and they're all sticky, and by the time I get done putting them in the machine, my hands are all sticky. So those moist towelettes, or I remember, this is going to embarrass my daughter, but when our kids were little, we called them butt wipes. Anyways, I noticed as I was walking in that this lady who had no pop cans went over and took a moist towelette. And I thought, that's kind of strange. And I thought, well, maybe she spilled some coffee on her hands in the car or something like that. And come to find out, she walked over to a shopping cart and wiped off the handle. And I thought, wow, you know, this person is so worried about germs that they would actually do that. So also, we ignore the will of God. And I think we're on slide 5. Yes, we ignore the will of God. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the duty of everyone. And then, the last bullet point, we fear that we are not strong enough, and actually we aren't. Unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit by ourselves, we can accomplish very little. And we have a Bible verse for that. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And that's from Isaiah. So what are the consequences of living in fear? And that's our next slide. And by the way, Tech Booth, you're doing great. What I've done with my sermons is I don't completely write them out anymore because Pastor Chris is trying to train me up to do things more off the cuff. So I just have notes. So I give the sound booth my notes and tell them where the slide should be, and I know that's, and then I didn't number the slides, so that makes it really, really tough. So what are the consequences of living in fear? First of all, it messes our ability to think and act. Messes with our ability to think and act. And this is where I'm going to talk about Peter again. Do you remember when Jesus was walking out on the Sea of Galilee and it was kind of stormy? And this isn't the story about where Jesus is sleeping in the boat. This is where he's actually walking on water. And he walks, and the disciples see him from a distance, and they're afraid that he's a ghost. And then Peter looks at him, and he goes, "Ah, I think that's Jesus." And he goes, "Jesus, if that's you, call me out of the boat." And sure enough, Jesus calls him, and Peter gets out, and he's just amazed that he's walking on water. And then he looks ahead, and he sees how rough the water is, and he starts doubting. He allows fear into his life, and he starts sinking. And that's where Jesus says, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And consequences of living in fear, it can also stunt our spiritual growth. Now, I talked with Keith Ingram this morning, and I didn't tell him I was going to bring him into my sermon, but I am. I remember at least 15 years ago, Keith and I were both ushers, and we would purposely get to worship early before ushering, and talk to each other, talk about how our lives are going and such. And Keith still is an usher. I unfortunately stepped out of that position. But anyway, I remember saying to Keith, I was questioning if God was really calling me into ministry. Because many of you know I was a public school teacher for a number of years. And this was about my 27th year of teaching. And I said, why would God wait so long in my life to call me into ministry? And it was, Keith had an answer, and I know it was God speaking through Keith. He said, because you weren't ready yet. You didn't have enough experiences that God wanted you to have before he placed you in the role of ministry. Because that's something pretty important. So it can also affect our mental, physical, and spiritual health. And Chris, I know Chris is here. She can attest to this. There she is back there. It can actually work in a negative way on how you process nutrients, which I found doing some research was pretty interesting. It can amplify physical and emotional pain. And I have another little story to tell you. Deva, for Father's Day, gave me a gift certificate to the yoga studio that he goes to. And so for 5 days in a row, I was practicing yoga. That is really a demanding sport. I mean, I thought, you know, you're just doing these stretches and laying on your back, and I thought, this is going to be easy. You know, I walk a lot, I run a lot. This is going to be easy. By about the 20th minute into the hour class, I was drenched in sweat. I mean, I was sticking to my yoga mat. It was rather embarrassing. And then finally, it can create symptoms that are not even there. So our next slide, how can fear be conquered? Well, we need to focus on God's word and realize that it is consistent. And here I have a verse, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Okay, the words that we have in our Bibles always were, always will be, and always are, and always will be. Then Jesus died in our place. He conquered death by rising, and he lives in believers in the form of the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. And then finally, we need to realize that fear is only temporary. Now, before we start this video, I've got a short musical video. Actually, this is probably the best part of my sermon. But this is by a gentleman named Danny Gokey. And those of you that watch what's that music show where people sing and... No, not the Gong Show. I Want to Be a Singer or something like that. American Idol. Okay, he was on American Idol. 2 weeks, he had made it almost to the finals. 2 weeks before the finals, his wife went in for a minor operation and ended up dying on the operating table. And that would have been enough for most people to fill them with fear and just to make them stop. Danny Gokey wanted to pay tribute to his wife by going on. He ended up winning. About a year after he won, he really got into contemporary Christian music. And at his church, and I'll try not to start crying here, I was telling this story to a couple of Indians the other day and I got all choked up. But at his church, they had a visiting pastor from Ohio. And this pastor was telling a story. And the story was, he had a member of his congregation that was a heart surgeon. And this pastor said, I would do anything to be able to watch an operation live, actually be in the operating room. And the surgeon said, well, we may be able to work that out, but of course I've got to get the patient and the family to agree to it and such. And you'll have to wear a surgical mask and wash your hands and do all the things surgeons do. But anyways, the pastor was able to be in the room. And he said they stopped this person's heart, actually pulled it out of the chest cavity, laid it on their chest. It was a woman, by the way. And they did the operation, highly successful. But before they put the heart back in the chest, they have to massage it to make it start beating again. And so the doctor massaged it, nothing happened. And then he tried something else and nothing happened. Finally, he got down and he whispered into the woman's ear, Mrs. Smith, let your heart beat again. And immediately the heart started beating and he put it back in. So let's watch this video.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to be. Everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door.
That could be a sermon all in itself. That man has a remarkable voice and a remarkable message. So we can go to the next slide. So we need to be consistent. And in 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but that only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but after I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified." And then we can go to the next slide. So as a runner, any of you that run, any of you that exercise, any of you that paint, any of you that dance, any of you that do anything, you know it takes practice. You have to train up. I'm a 5K runner, and I compete. As a matter of fact, a week ago I wasn't in worship. I had cleared it with Pastor Chris. Dave and I ran in a race downtown Detroit called the Hockey Town 5K, and it went through the old Joe Louis Arena into the new Little Caesars Arena. And I told Pastor Chris, I will be back in time. I'll go home and shower, and I'll be back in time for the mission fair, which I was. But I have to tell you a little bit about this race. When you compete in a race like this, there were 5,000 runners. It's not necessarily who comes in first, but they put you in age groups. Deva is in the age group of 20 through 24 years old. So he's one of the oldest in his age group because he's 24. I, by the grace of God, just turned 65. And so I've been boosted up into the 65 through 69. So I'm one of the youngest runners in my age group. Well, Dave and I usually run together, but about the last 500 feet, since he has lost 40 pounds and exercises regularly, the last 500 feet, he just whips ahead and purposely beats me, which is okay. That's a good thing. This last race, I came in second in my age group. He came in 49th in his age group. So even though he beat me, didn't make that much difference. So besides being consistent, we need to be confident that God has a plan for each of us. We need to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit must envelop everything that we do and the plan that God has for us. It has to usher in the kingdom as we live out the gospel in a missional way. That would be a lamp to non-believers' feet so that they see, you know, so that we are salt of the earth and that we are light. Now, a fear that many Christians verbalize, and not just at this church, but throughout the presbytery, and you know that recently I went out to Dubuque, Iowa, to seminary. I've heard it from pastors in rural areas, pastors in urban areas. The church is in a crisis right now. And we know this church was built for 1,200 people. And on any given Sunday, if we have 300, you know, we're doing well. So we need to look at, we can't allow fear to make us freeze. We have to continue looking at ways of making our church more attractive to those who know Christ, to those who are coming to Christ. But we also need to go out those doors, and we need to become missional. I know this summer, Pastor Chris and Becky had us, instead of doing Vacation Bible School, we did 3 mission projects, which is a good start. But we can all continue to be more missional. So how do we change these falling numbers? Well, first of all, by exhibiting constant confidence in God and the plans he has for us, to keep God's message just as it is, but to realize that yesterday's a closing door and we don't live there anymore, because your story's far from over and our journey's just begun. Let every heartbreak and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. Because love sees further than you ever could. In this moment, heaven's working everything for your good. So constant confidence in changing the way we do things, changing the way we spread the gospel. It's just like any healthy habit. It's just that easy to do, but it's just that easy not to do. Tell your heart to beat again. Amen.